All right, now into the message. You guys ready for the word? I don't know if you will be once I give it to you. But that's okay too. The word should be working out and purifying and sanctifying us as we read it, as we study it, as we begin to encounter and experience it in our lives. And I've titled today's message, Triggered. Some of you are triggered already. Some of you are going, yikes. I remember I have a meeting at 11:10. No, it's going to be good, Aldo. Triggered is not a bad thing. I went out last night and did a little studying, a little trigger therapy at the range with some friends. And we shot a few hundred rounds. And so I'm prepared for the message today. Right, so we're going to jump into Luke chapter 22, look at a story of Jesus really quickly before we jump into the word here any further. Luke 22, verse 47 through 51. Find Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. They're coming to arrest him just before his crucifixion. Luke 22, verse 47. While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus asked him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, Lord, should we strike with our swords? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, no more of this. And he touched the man's ear and healed him. This is a very triggering moment in life. Two individuals triggered, two very different responses and how they responded to the triggering of betrayal. Jesus being betrayed, of course, unto his death at this point, that's a pretty big trigger. Often in our society we hear, I'm triggered, you're triggering me. That triggers me. I can't go there, I'm triggered. Right? Anybody else hear that? Is it just me as a pastor? Okay, there's three more of you. That's great. It's a big word in our society right now. And triggering is not a bad thing. But triggering should not tell you what to do. It should tell you where you're at. Triggering is actually an invitation from the Lord to move closer and into deeper relationship with him. Saying, hey, Arby, we got some things we need to work out right here. So it's okay to be triggered, but what we do with our trigger matters to God. Peter, protecting Jesus, because any human can protect the Son of God, when he's triggered, he draws his sword and chops off a guy's ear. Luckily, he wasn't a skilled swordsman. But I believe Jesus could have raised him from the dead also. Jesus' response is, okay, I'm triggered. Let's heal someone. Because this servant of the high priest, when he's maimed and has no ear, he loses his job, his livelihood. He can no longer sit in his place, but has to be with the outcasts of society in that time. It was much more than he just lost an ear. He lost everything in that moment. Jesus' response while being triggered is, let's heal and restore and show love and compassion and kindness. So as we're triggered, should we be more like Peter or more like Jesus? I think Jesus is the correct answer here. It's the Sunday school answer. Jesus. So what triggers you? What triggers do you have in your life? As a young child on the playground, my name is Arby. Do you know what rhymes with Arby? Barbie. Arby the Barbie was my playground name growing up, going to school. I was severely picked on and bullied. It was not a fun experience going to school being named Arby. But that could trigger me in a couple of directions. How do I treat those around me? I can be rude and mean and bully others. Of course, I was a little tiny, scrawny little puke that didn't help. Got something clicking. Maybe that will work. I think I got it on the cable there. I hope. But I was not a very big kid. I was pretty small. I was easy to pick on. I was an easy target. I was a likely target. I fit nicely folded in half into trash cans. I fit nicely in lockers that already had backpacks and books in them. I was that kid. Okay? And you can go one of two ways with that. You can pick on those less than you to pass it on, or you can treat people better because of your bad experience. What triggers you? How do you respond when triggered? Because it matters to God. Let's talk about trigger function for a little bit. Of course, I'm going to be using an actual trigger on a firearm as our demonstration. I'm not going to pull out a firearm, okay? You had to be there last night for that. So the trigger on a rifle, a shotgun, a pistol, a crossbow, whatever, the trigger has some function. It does something. When we're triggered, the trigger releases the firing pin. The firing pin then smacks into what is known as the primer or the charge. The charge then ignites an explosion inside of the chamber, which then pushes a projectile out the end of the barrel. The projectile goes downrange and hits a target and tells us where we're at. So if you will, the release of the firing pin we're going to use as our memory. When we're triggered, it releases a memory, an experience we've had. Okay, trigger to firing pin. Firing pin to primer is the feeling we get. Now we've had this memory, this remembrance of an experience. Now a feeling is going to start to take over. The primer, the small explosion going off to light the bigger charge. We have this feeling, I feel abandoned, I feel rejected, I feel guilt, I feel shame, I feel, I think somebody else talked about fear this morning. I feel, what do you feel? And when that primer explodes, it's going to ignite the bigger charge, our emotions. Now we've had the remembrance of an experience, moved into some feelings, they're going to turn into emotions. Now how do we begin to respond through our emotions? What emotions are real. God gave them to us. It's okay to fully experience your emotions, but what we do with them matters. Maybe it's love. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's what emotion are you feeling? Sadness, joy. And then beyond that, when our emotion is released, we push the projectile downrange, which if we hit the bullseye, we're hitting God's mark. We're hitting what he wants us to do in that moment. Jesus in that moment hit the bullseye. Let's heal and restore. Let's love and show compassion. Peter, well, when we miss the mark, we injure people around us. If we don't properly control our emotions and release them properly how God would have us, there's casualties. People get wounded. And then we have a mess to clean up. So as that explosion goes downrange, it's a release of our words. It's a release of our thoughts. It's a release of our actions. What projectiles are you sending downrange? And what are you hitting at the other end of the range? Are you on target? The target is hit downrange. Where are we? The trigger from there to our response is where we're at. Sometimes when I get a rifle to sight in or a handgun, like you're not even on the paper when you start. You've got to walk up to 10 or 20 yards to get on paper just to even know where you're at. Sometimes we're way off. Or you can buy a rifle down here at Dale's and a scope and they'll bore sight it for you and he usually has you within 2 inches at 100 yards. Sometimes we're just a little bit off course. Sometimes we're way off course. Triggers are indicators of where we are, not an excuse for our behaviors or permission to do whatever we want. Triggers are just an indicator of where I'm at, They don't give me permission to act like a maniac. They don't give me permission to talk rudely or downcast to those around me. They don't give me an excuse for my bad behavior, though we use them that way sometimes. Triggers tell us where we are, not what to do. Once we pull a trigger and something's released, it tells us whether we're on target or not. And we're going to look at some Bible passages to help us identify what that looks like. Before we do, when you're triggered and respond, you see where you're at. God, what needs changed in me? What needs adjusted in me if we're missing the mark? If not, if we're hitting the mark, say, God, thank you for refining in me a right heart and a right spirit and a right mind that I could hit this mark, because 10 years ago, I wasn't hitting the mark. 5 years ago, I wasn't hitting the mark. Last year, I wasn't hitting the mark. So it can turn into praise and thanksgiving. Lord, thank you. I was thinking of, we're getting ready to go to the Braveco conference tomorrow. Woo-woo! And I remember last year, they do these big team challenges, which your team has like 50 or 60 guys on it. And it's like team against team. And they had this one, I forget what it was even called, but like everybody had a Burger King crown on, and you all got a pool noodle, and that was your sword. And it was like 50 on 50 in an area about as big as this room. So it was wild, pure mayhem madness. And this one guy comes up to like jab me with his pool noodle, which I don't know why, because that's not very effective with the noodle, because you had to remove or break the crown from their head to win. And the last team was somebody crowned was the winner. Well, this guy goes to stab me with his pool noodle, and he just goes, boom. And I remember thinking, like 10 years ago, Arby would kill you right now. And I remember saying, thank you, Jesus, that you have worked out in me a right heart and a right spirit. Because 10 years ago, I would have lost it. There would have been an explosion. Okay, the primer would have ignited a big wad of powder, and there would have been a big ball of anger come out the end of my muzzle, and I don't know where it would have stopped. But 10 years later, Arby, that was stupid. Why'd you do that? That kind of hurt. And then I chopped his crown off his head with a nice 45 slicing blow with my hot pink pool noodle. There is nothing more manly than knocking somebody's crown off with a hot pink pool noodle. But we should have some markers in our life that tell us where we're at. Some of those things we look back on. We go, wow, I'm a better husband today than I used to be. I'm hitting the mark. I'm a better father today than I used to be. I'm hitting the mark. I'm dialing in. I used to be 3 feet off. Now I'm only 3 inches off. I've still got some work to do. But it's a continual journey of engaging day after day, improving, developing, continuing to grow and develop. I hadn't shot my handgun since like, I think November or October last year. And it felt foreign to me when I put it in my hand, and I had to remember slack, wall, squeeze, trigger, boom, to be accurate. And it took a little bit to get the hang of it. But if I would shoot daily, it would be natural, like breathing air. How often are you engaging in relationship with your Heavenly Father? How often are you inviting Him in to inspect your life? How am I doing, Lord? Let's look at our target of our life. Where are we at? Are we even on the paper? Do we need to move closer to even get it on the paper so we can start? So when we're adjusting sights, we have what's called windage, left to right. And elevation, top to bottom, up and down. So you have to adjust windage sometimes. If we're off left, of course, we move right. And if we're off right, we move left. If we're hitting low, we move up. If we're hitting high, we move down. So in our lives, we're going to relate our windage and elevation today. Our windage is our flesh. Okay? Our elevation is going to be our spirit. Like there are some things we have to do with our flesh. We have to physically eat. We have to physically consume water. We have to physically sleep. We have to get rest. We have to have some sort of physical exercise to stay in some semblance of shape. As my dad would say, round is a shape. But there are physically some things we have to do, but there are also some physical things we can do that are wrong and not good or not healthy or not right for us to do, which then pulls us off target. So we have a whole physical side to look at, and then we have our spirit man. How are we aligning our spirit with the Spirit of God and walking in His function, in His direction, and what He's called us to? And maybe right now, up and down, we're not even on the paper, but left to right, we're decent. Or maybe we're so spiritual, our physical body's clear off the paper. Like, there has to be the balance. We are both flesh and spirit. We have to balance so our crosshairs line up on the bullseye God has painted for us. In Galatians chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5, picking up at verse 13, we're going to read through 23. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, life by the Spirit. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And we'll pick up with those last four verses in a minute. So what I gather out of that passage, that piece of the passage, be free, but don't use your freedom to overindulge. Don't use your freedom to lead others into sin or cause them to stumble. Rather, serve others humbly in love. So what's a right thing for me to do to move closer to the bullseye is, even when I'm triggered, serve others humbly in love. How do we fulfill the full law or get to a bullseye of what God calls dead center? Love your neighbor as yourself. How hard is that? Who's my neighbor? Just the guy next door? I'm at 201 and he's at 203? No, I think it's everybody God puts in proximity to us. At work, I've got a bunch of work neighbors. At the grocery store, I've got a bunch of grocery store neighbors. At the restaurant in town, I've got a bunch of restaurant neighbors. At church, is that one better? Now I can't talk with my hands. You're only going to get half the story. Whoever God puts in proximity to us, whether we're working or at recreation or play, whether we're serving God in the church or out in the community, whoever God puts in proximity to you is your neighbor to love as yourself. This is 100% a bullseye in God's book. When you can get to the point of loving everyone around you as you love yourself, like, I'm pretty good, but there's a few that are hard for me to love, right? I'm sure I'm not the only one that would say that. Okay, there's 3, 4, 5 more, 6 more of you, perfect. There's a bunch of us. But we've got to get to the point to where we're loving everyone God puts in our path. Whether we agree or disagree on everything, but God, I'm going to love them because you love them. God, I'm going to love them because you created them and you've made space and a way for them to get to heaven. And how will they hear about it unless I love them and get the chance to tell them about your great love? The last piece of that, walk by the Spirit. Do not do whatever you want. We don't get to do whatever we want. We walk in the leading of the Holy Spirit who guides and directs us. If we will take time to pause and wait and say, God, what would you have me do? God, where would you have me go? God, what would you have me say? As we look at the life of Jesus, we hear him constantly saying, I only do what I hear the Father doing or hear the Father saying or go where he tells me to go. And even Jesus, the Son of God, part of the triune God, still sat and waited before the Lord to get marching orders. We as a society are very fast-paced and go, 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 go. We need to learn to sit and be still, 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 and wait. Sometimes we have the right message to deliver, but deliver in the wrong time or the wrong setting. But when we sit and be still before the Lord, say, God, I've got the message. When do you want it delivered? God, who do you want it delivered to? Then we're hitting the bullseye. Picking back up at verse 19, here's some things that are definitely missing the mark. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. These are all definite, off the paper, missing the mark things that we can engage in our lives, experiences, happenings, whatever. Stay far from them. They will not get you to heaven. Of course, our long-range mark is eternity with Jesus. Our long-range bullseye is get to heaven. That's one target you don't want to miss. Sometimes we miss some conversations. We miss passing some messages from the Lord to someone in our lives. Those are really bad also. But missing the mark of eternity is ultra bad. That's eternal hell and damnation. You don't want to go there. Picking back up, verse 22. Here's some things that are hitting the bullseye that should be the response as the explosion leaves the muzzle and sends the projectile downrange. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, which is patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. How do we know if we're hitting the mark? Are these the things that are coming out of us when we're triggered? Or does it lead us into addiction? Does it lead us into a coping mechanism? Or does it lead us into love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control? What are you being led into when your emotions explode inside of you? Because it matters to God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 11. A little more instruction in the Word. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power, his being Jesus, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. We'll pick back up at 5 in a moment. Jesus has given us everything we need, but we have to tap into it. We went to the range last night, and I brought targets, I brought guns, I brought ammo, I brought hearing protection. I had everything they needed. Some chose to shoot, some chose to watch. But everything they needed was there to experience. Christ has given us everything we need to hit bullseyes in our lives. but we have to take advantage of what he's given us. He's given us the advantage so that we may participate in the divine nature, may participate in the supernatural, may participate in a spirit life and not just a physical flesh life. He's given us everything we need, and he invites us into it. He's given us this so that we can escape corruption and evil in the world. It is possible, through Jesus, to escape evil and corruption that this world has to offer that would cause us to miss our mark. Picking up at verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To make every effort, that's a charge to you and I. We have to make the effort. God's prepared. Christ has done the work. We have to make the effort to engage and partner with that to get back on target. Add to your faith, your goodness, your knowledge, your self-control, your perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and love. We get to add, which means that there's no cap. You can continue adding those to your life. You can continue gaining and growing and maturing in them. There's not a limit. You don't tap out. God gives these to us in increasing measure. I like increasing measures. We caught a fish this last week that was probably a pound and a half, but it's easy 6.5 now. It had increasing measure. And it was a pretty big fish. That's fishing stories, right? But in the spirit, we can grow in increasing measure, and it's not a fishtail. It's reality. Christ gives this to us in increasing measure. The effort you're willing to put in is with the measure you're going to receive back. Continue pushing in and making every effort. Keep from being ineffective and unproductive. Receive the gift of eternal life that Christ has for you. So we have this question we should ask God. Where are we at? Where am I at? Lord, show me where I'm at on the target. Maybe you haven't had a recent experience that triggered you to show you. Well, God can show you through his Holy Spirit like, you're off the paper, dude. You need to get back on track. Triggers are really a gift from God, inviting us into a deeper walk of faith and trust in him. God's allowing us to see, where did I hit? Where am I at? One of my triggers is when people harm children. It fires me up when I hear about young children being abused, young children being mistreated, or treated like they're less than. This probably triggers me because of abuse I suffered as a child. And I don't want anyone else to ever experience that. But what do I do when I'm triggered? How do I respond? And I really like the verse in Matthew 18, I think it's in 6 right in there, where it says, any of you who causes one of these little ones to stumble, it's better for you to tie a millstone around your neck and be thrown into the sea. I'm like, God, I can help you with that. That's my flesh response. But then the deeper response is, but God loves them too. Jesus made a way for them too, to repent, to be made in right standing with the Heavenly Father, to inherit the kingdom of heaven. So then I have to look at them spiritually, not just in my flesh, and say, God, they're in your hands, but I'm going to do my part. And if I encounter those people, I will have to love them and take care of them and minister to them, show them the love of Christ, hopefully lead them to repentance. But that's one of my triggers. What's your trigger? What sets you off? What trips your trigger? Part of that is why I'm so engaged in kids' lives, why I coach, why I do open gyms, why I'm in the community, in the schools with our children so much. Because I want them to know there's somebody who loves them, somebody who cares. Because you don't know what's going on in their lives. You don't know what's really happened to them to make them respond the way they're responding. But somebody needs to love them well. They need to know someone cares. And that's a piece that I can engage with and a response that I can have when I'm triggered. I'm going to love people better. I'm going to treat them better. One thing with triggers is we often believe, like Pastor Dan said, we believe the lies. We're going to give you a chance when we have closing prayer here. You need to break agreement with those lies, because often a trigger is tied to a false identity, a false word spoken against you, a lie that you've believed and acted upon, instead of the truth of who God's word says you are and who God says you are and what he's called you to. My trigger used to be tied to shame and guilt. Even though it was not my sin, it was sin that was happening to me from another. But I used to identify as shameful and guilty instead of loved, cared for, cherished. But those are the lies you have to break off, you have to break agreement with to get the freedom that Christ offers to us. Our triggers should point us to Jesus, and we're going to talk about that next week as we talk about trigger control. I thought I was doing one message, but I think it's turning into three. It'll be at least next week, possibly the week after as well. We're going to continue talking about triggers. But man, God gives us triggers as a gift to set us free. If we will look, see where we're at, use them appropriately, and then use his word to refine and restore, to bring us right on target where he's called us to be. So as we close in prayer, be thinking about, what do I need to break agreement with in my life? And as we have the prayer team up here at the end of service, or you can grab one of us pastors, say, man, I need some help. I am off target, and I've been believing a lie for too long. Maybe it's a lie of fear. Maybe it's a lie of shame. Maybe it's a lie of abandonment. Maybe it's a lie of put your word in there. That the Lord has come for your freedom. But he says, make every effort, meaning you have to get up, get out of your safe space sometimes, get out of the boat, as Pastor Kathleen said. Sometimes it's scary. Those disciples were professional fishermen, and they were scared the boat was going to sink because the ship was rocking so bad and the waves were so great. But you got to get out of the boat, out of your comfort zone sometimes, to move ahead in what God has in store for you. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your word. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your love and care for us. God, we thank you that you are so gentle and so kind. God, you are so long-suffering with us. God, waiting for us to come to you and make that effort. God, waiting for us to get our acts together. God, even if we're off the paper, Lord God, you still love and care for us. God, you still call us. You still invite us. You still stretch out your mighty hand towards us. God, you still intervene on our behalves. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you that you have not forgotten us, you have not forsaken us. But God, you love us. God, I just ask as we close the service today, God, that you would begin to stir in every heart. God, that you would expose the lie they've believed, God, that the devil has attached to them and tried to give them that false identity. Father, I ask that you'd begin to reveal that to them, God, that as they come forward for prayer, God, that, God, you would give them their true identity in you and who you say they are. God, that they would begin from this day forward, begin believing and responding in the truth of your word. God, in the truth of who you say they are. Father, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.